I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 31st, 2025. And a belief system is a lot like a helmet. It can offer you protection and comfort in hostile times, but it also limits your perspective and prevents you from fully seeing and capturing the world around you. It can also be quite heavy, but easily dealt with by taking it off or getting rid of the false belief system. Now, in my recent videos, I've been talking very strongly with a lot of facts and a lot of sources about the reality of Canada. We have this idea that we are a nice little cottage country, very friendly, very tolerant, very accepting. But the reality is far different. We are a money laundering capital in this world. We are a clearinghouse and manufacturing hub for fentanyl and methamphetamine that finds its way into the United States. We are a funnel, a place for cartel cocaine to be exported to for our market as well as into the United States. And in spite of the fact that we have a very small percentage of the illegal immigrants coming from Canada going into the United States, we are their highest source for terrorists with known terrorist links like Hamas and Hezbollah. And I'm going to show you in this video, building on the previous videos, again, please go watch them. I'm going to show you how it's known. This is not a conspiracy. Canada has been this way for a long time. Our interest in this video is the same as in the other videos. We're talking about the tariffs that are due to come down tomorrow. And Trump has made very clear that it's about drug and human trafficking along the Canadian border. He's also mentioned the fact that they send more money here than we send product to them, creating a trade imbalance. Now, you have to understand the context for that trade imbalance. It feeds into this cycle that we're going to be talking about. There's also the defense aspect. We have been dependent on the Americans for our homeland's defense for 4 to 5 decades, depending on how you want to score it. The Canadian Army's only gotten weaker. Our Air Force has gotten weaker. Our submarines are used. We're not keeping them up to date, and that's because we can rely on the Americans to do the job for us. He's highlighting that what they're protecting is actually a huge global hub for human trafficking, drug trafficking, and money laundering. Now, this is an often used counter by very superficial people who don't want to go deep. I challenge this person to go deep on the details. They will not do it. They refuse to look at the work that's been compiled on this subject. This simple chart is drugs seized by U.S. authorities at land borders. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the fact that when Biden comes into office, drug seizures go down versus when Trump was in office. The other thing that I want you to note is that Canada has a huge, undefended border. For every truck we bust with hundreds of millions of dollars in illicit drugs going to the United States, and for every lab we bust that has billions of dollars worth of manufacturing capacity, how many trucks are getting through? How many labs are left to be uncovered? This graph isn't honestly approaching the problem or even indicative of the scale. So that needs to be understood first, because you're going to see this chart in any conversation you engage in on this. It is too simplified to actually capture the scale of the problem. To understand that we have a long and storied history with corruption in this country, we go back to 2019. First, we're going to read the headline. From Colombia to Lebanon to Toronto, how a DEA probe uncovered Hezbollah's Canadian money laundering operations. Note that it's the DEA. For those of you who don't know, that is not a Canadian agency. That is a U.S. agency. The United States, the CIA, the DEA, and many other departments are very aware of the Canada problem. But previous administrations have not cared about the Canada problem, because I would attest that many of their people were complicit in enabling this problem. So much comes in so easy. As I said in my last video, it's as though someone wants it there. Professional money laundering networks are growing in Canada, washing vast sums of cocaine and fentanyl cash and helping to drive up prices in Vancouver and Toronto real estate. This is 2019. The market is still going up in 2025. In spite of everything, we've got 600 square foot condos selling for $1 million. Who's buying them? Canadians can't afford them. Wage growth hasn't kept up with it. Where is the money coming from? It's being rinsed. It's the same with the casinos. You can't buy crypto in this country without doing AML KYC, which is know your customer. You can't trade. You can't buy gold and silver as a civilian above something like $10,000 cash without a bunch of paperwork being done on you. There's FinTrack. There's all this stuff. But you can walk into a casino with $250,000 in cash, and you can rinse it through that casino. There's other aspects of this, too, that we can go back much further. We can talk about how cash overpayments at one time were alleged to be made to the CRA, and then the CRA would reimburse that person. It's not implicating the CRA in a crime, but it was using a mechanism to rinse money by putting it through the federal government. But that was a long time ago. I don't really want to get into that because we're going a long time ago. Canada's federal government proposed a new federal anti-money laundering task force last week, specifically to tackle these concerns. This is something, but according to U.S. law enforcement sources, Canada has been aware of this for over a decade. So every so often, what Canada will do is engage in a public relations effort to look like we're doing something. We're doing that right now on the eve of these tariffs. They're talking about a fentanyl task force. I believe genuinely that Premier Moe and Premier Smith are sincere and their want to deal with this problem. I fully am on board with Saskatchewan and Alberta's approach to this issue. But what the Canadian government is doing is trying to, at the last minute, stall Trump and delay these tariffs by saying they're going to get tough on this. So they say some things now to cure the optics, but they'll let it disappear later because nothing ever gets done about this problem. The streets are filled with fent zombies. We have safe injection sites. We have safe supply. We have things like Premier Eby in BC. Premier astonished at BC firm's claim it got Health Canada approval to make and sell cocaine. This was in 2023. Eby was totally surprised by that. He had no idea. But underneath his nose, under NDP governments, they have built casinos and made them clearinghouses for money laundering. This is a known factor. Look at my other videos. It's all in there. So you need to understand that when they do this stuff, this PR stuff, like establishing a fentanyl task force, what they're talking about now, and the premier being astonished, the government is talking about safe supply. They want to maintain an environment in Canada where addiction is destigmatized and celebrated. They want your streets full of homeless. They want your people addicted to hard drugs. And they want to maintain that atmosphere because it makes it easy to hide drug manufacturing in plain sight. And since we have this great big long border that's completely undefended, it makes it really easy to get that stuff into the United States market, which is what it's really all about. Now back to Hezbollah for a minute. You need to understand, as I said in my previous videos, you need to understand that terrorist groups are openly operating here in Canada. It's not just Hezbollah. Khalistani separatists also operate here illicitly. They're in the gun trade. They're in the drug trade. It's all over the news if you know what to look for. But it's separated. So you have a dot here and a dot here and a dot here and a dot here, and no journalist in the mainstream media is ever connecting the dots to point out how the government must be complicit. Going back a little further, when we talk about Chinese influence, because you can't have a conversation about these networks without bringing in the Chinese connection, because China supplies the raw materials. We get the raw materials for all this drug manufacturing from China. It comes in here unabated. Less than 1% of the sea cans that come in from overseas are actually checked. And there's some shady business that goes on there, but maybe we'll save that for another video. Essentially, we have free flow of material into this country, and every so often something gets captured, but it's by design. we don't really want to stop the problem because there's a lot of people in this country and a lot of interest being served by Canada maintaining itself as a clearinghouse for these illegal and absolutely immoral functions. Chinese influence and intelligence threat outlined in declassified 25-year-old CSIS report. The report finds that Chinese intelligence services were actively attempting to recruit business and political leaders in Canada to influence political activities here back in the 90s. A joint report into Chinese interference in Canada, drawn from an RCMP and Canadian Security Intelligence Service investigation, found evidence of foreign agents working in this country to influence important leaders and neutralize criticism of China. The report was written 25 years ago, finalized in 1998, now partially declassified. The report was the result of a joint RCMP-CSIS investigation dubbed Project Sidewinder, examining links between Chinese government intelligence agencies and Chinese organized crime. An early draft of the report had been leaked before now, but was controversially discredited by CSIS, or sorry, by Canada's Security Intelligence Review Committee. Now, you've seen that in the National Post, so you know it is mainstream news here in Canada. The main allegations of the report were that Chinese intelligence and triads were working together on various intelligence operations in Canada, including attempts to influence political activities, steal high-tech secrets, launder money, and gain control over Canadian companies, particularly in sensitive sectors like real estate and media. What do you think has happened to Canada since 2019? China is a 25% stakeholder in Alberta Oil, Syncrude. They are stakeholders in our resource development. They have channeled billions of dollars into our universities and colleges. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is what they've been allowed to do. They are heavily involved in our real estate market, and they are shipping the raw components for the drugs we manufacture here to kill our own people as well as to export to the U.S. market. That is what Trump is concerned with. He's told you. This trade war that our politicians are talking about, once again, is them circling the wagons around drug trafficking. There's no trade war to be had here. This is Canada's trade war. We're engaging with it rather than dealing with the problem. And the reason we don't deal with the problem is a lot of the reason we have a housing bubble and an affordability crisis is because so much money, billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars over the decades, has poured into this country, bought up our real estate, and inflated the price of everything as we have laundered the world's terrorist and cartel money. Trump is saying it plain. Anybody online who's telling you otherwise is either naive themselves or deliberately misleading you. After the initial draft was published in 1997, there were allegations of political interference leading to the project being sidelined. The report was altered by CSIS, which led to disputes with the RCMP over the integrity of the findings. CSIS claimed the alterations were for accuracy, while the RCMP accused CSIS of undermining the report. The outcome was the whole thing was buried, and the status quo was maintained. And we are now in 2025, 6 years out from this report, and nothing has changed. And now you have an incoming administration that is committed to solving the migrant problem, committed to solving the crime problem, and they want to stop their people from dying. They want to dry up the supply of narcotics, which Canada is providing. We just had come out in this country at great public expense the foreign interference report, whatever it was called, doesn't matter. It's not worth the paper it was printed on. A Trudeau appointee covered up everything the government is complicit in once again, because these reports, these commissions, are designed to do one thing, and that is to whitewash the actions of the government. Meanwhile, these are two books you can go and purchase and you can read. I'm thinking about reviewing both of them, because they tell the story, and they do it without a single dollar from the taxpayer. They do the investigative journalism that your commissions and your reporters and your government-appointed officials should be doing. They expose the truth, though, which is why the government cannot endorse them and why the government cannot mimic them. Because aspects of the government, and I don't pretend to know how deep it goes, it obviously goes pretty deep. I don't know how deep. It seems like a bottomless pit. But the government is clearly allowing this to happen. And Trump ain't having it anymore. And that's the message he's sending us. I've talked in previous videos how disgusted I am with Doug Ford and his government and how he's the biggest political disappointment of my life after helping him get elected leader and helping him get elected to the government of Ontario. He ghosted me pretty much right away as soon as he became leader of the PC party. And ever since then, he's forgotten all of his campaign promises, and I don't know what happened to him during the C-19 so-called crisis. But he completely changed, and he has not been the same since. But the interesting thing is the last election, 57% of the electorate did not participate. So the Conservative government in Ontario is being maintained by 18% of the electorate. Now, I think this is because people in Ontario rightly feel like they have no real choice. If I was living in Ontario right now, I'd be looking at a smaller party or I wouldn't be voting at all. Because it's disgusting to me how they all parade around, all of them parade around, as though they're championing Ontario, as though they're going to protect workers in Ontario, when their policies and their response to Trump's tariffs over drug trafficking are actually going to put hundreds of thousands of people out of work and drive up costs even more. Their solution, which is to offer a huge, practical, universal basic income program with printed dollars that they don't have, is going to inflate the price of everything and rob you of your savings. And they do it under the banner of protecting Ontario. And it's not just the Conservative Party. The Liberals under Kathleen Wynne were complicit in the same development of this drug trade and money laundering network that we are talking about. They've all allowed it to grow right under their noses. It's incredible to me. Ham Sandwich says, yep, what Trump is asking of us isn't unreasonable. It's something we should be doing for ourselves anyway. The only reason to not play ball here is because of Trump derangement syndrome, and that TDS is about to prove extremely destructive for Canada. Thank God we have some sensible premiers. I absolutely agree. We do have at least two sensible premiers, and Premier Moe and Smith, they are the only ones approaching this problem, right? And hopefully it gains for them an exemption on resources coming from Alberta and Saskatchewan. And it will put Ottawa on the hot seat. If Ottawa then turns around and orders these provinces to cut those supplies off, that is time for us to consider parting ways with Ottawa permanently. Because they robbed the West. And they've, by equalization, through this myth we call Confederation, the West gets robbed. And now, as I've said in many videos, they want to kill the Western economy so that they can prosecute a trade war instead of dealing with money laundering and drug trafficking. Instead of dealing with the terrorist groups that openly meet and organize on our soil and use us as a clearinghouse and destroy our cities and fill our streets with zombies. They want to sacrifice us first. And we should not have it. It is not unreasonable by any stretch of the imagination. This is a comment that came up a while ago. It's been sitting on my desktop, and I just want to address it. The unions backed the government even though their money comes from the people. And I said, unions fight for control of government just as hard and with greater effect as every other group interest, but they have a lot more money, clout, and direct control over the affairs of the state. The thing that bothers me about public sector unions is they will sacrifice everybody else, and they will use your kids as political human shields to pad out their wages and their pension funds and to gain more for their members. They too, in siding with the government against the Americans right now, are only looking out for themselves and signing off on the rampant drug problem we have, which is all we have to deal with. And the reason they don't want to deal with it is because it's on such a large scale that bringing out the drug problem, actually dealing with it, would bring down the Canadian economy in and of itself, which is why I think they want to fight. They know the scale is so massive that it could immediately implode the housing bubble and other issues that we have in this country. People don't understand. It's like the helmet at the beginning of this video. Perspectives are very limited. We are the most heavily propagandized people, probably in the Western world. and our view of our country is completely outmoded and destroyed by the facts. Canada is a dark little place with a lot of dark secrets. Looking at user comments again for some gold nuggets. These are some good questions. I'm surprised about the capacity of the lab in Vancouver. And yet only one person was named to be arrested. There must be at least several dozen people involved. Indeed, there must be, for that many guns, for that many materials, for that much drug trade. The big lab was located outside of Falkland, which is between Vernon and Kamloops. Only one Sikh arrested. I wonder why it wasn't put under surveillance to get the entire group. Maybe some of the things that I've been talking about in these videos are actually true. Maybe someone wants it there. Maybe we're not arresting the entire gang and the group behind it because it would be inconvenient and expose the dark, seedy underside that underpins Canada, that underpins the real estate boom, that underpins the rapid rise of asset prices. We talk, and I've talked a lot, about the effects of mass immigration on prices and the lack of housing construction. But above and beyond all of that is the money laundering. Real estate is one of the primary vehicles and how it's done. One last user comment. And this is just an idle speculation. We don't know who this person is. The sister of one of my buddies was working for CBSA, flagging containers for inspection, identified a suspicious container to be searched and was told by her superiors not to inspect it and to let it through. She transferred out right after that, fearing her own safety. It's just a rumor. It's just somebody commenting. But the fact of the matter is, I have heard that story myself from CBSA employees, that some things are allowed to happen that they can't explain. They're told to turn a blind eye. And that's on the small percentage of containers that we search. Most, 99%, come into this country, and they're never searched. If we wanted to get serious, if we wanted to actually disrupt the drug trade, we wouldn't have safe supply. We wouldn't have needle injection sites. We wouldn't be destigmatizing drug abuse. And we certainly wouldn't be enabling the conditions that allow Canada to be taken advantage of this way. And now there's a U.S. administration that is determined to put a stop to it. And our government might pretend to be responsive for a little while, but I don't believe in their sincerity. I think we need a whole cloth change in this country. The country itself might need to be ripped apart and either put back together or renegotiated, because it cannot go on this way. There are no future. There is no future for the lawful, law-abiding, tax-paying Canadian. You are getting ripped off. And the worst people in this world, the terrorists, the cartels, the drug dealers, the pushers, who care nothing for their fellow human being, are the ones winning under the current arrangement in Canada. That's what the tariffs are about. Make no mistake. Thank you to everybody that has supported the channel. You're few, but I appreciate every single one of you, and I want you to know that. And if you like the shows and you like the work, please go to the website, frankvaughn.ca/donate, and consider a financial contribution. This will always be free and open access to anybody, no paid content, and I'm going to keep it that way for as long as I can. I'll see you in the next one, and please, go watch the other videos. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link and one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.